Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament, chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And then also we'll be in the book of Luke, chapter 4. So Jeremiah chapter 33 and Luke chapter 4. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Adam did do a message on how God transforms us, and he talked about the way we're transformed is by reading His Word, by becoming a new creation in Christ, and by receiving knowledge after that through teaching and prayer and ministry. And then after that, we seek those things which are above and allowing us to be transforming our minds. And then also learning to just to put off the old ways. And all of that's a process to do that. It's not going to happen overnight. And then last week I talked about the power to do that in is in the power in the blood. And if you haven't understood the power in the blood, there's lots of power in that blood of Jesus Christ, not only to cleanse us and to wash us from away from our sins, which is a miracle in itself, but just to have power in that blood to claim over anything that the enemy tries to hold over your head. Because once you claim the power in the blood, the enemy has to flee, because he's powerless against that, against the blood of Christ. And then, of course, today I would like to continue that message with, once you have claimed that power in the blood, it's time for those to be restored in Him. And so, you know, you can basically sum up the function of the church here in two words, and that's reconciliation and restoration. And reconciliation is our ministry to the fallen sinners, those who do not know Christ yet, being reconciled to the love of God. And restoration is the ministry to the saints who have fallen. Many of those who have backslid or fallen out of the church and have strayed away from Christ. Fanny Crosby, many of you may remember her, the old timers that wrote those hymns. One of the hymns that Fanny Crosby wrote was called Rescue the Perishing. And you can see both ministries recorded in this song. The part in the hymn where it says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Well, that part of the hymn is speaking about the ministry of reconciliation. And then also later in the hymn, in one of the verses, it speaks about weep over the erring one and lift up the fallen. And of course, this is the ministry of restoration. Because it's Satan's desire to trap fellow believers in Christ, Christians in sin. And he wants to convince you that you're no longer useful for the Heavenly Father to use. And whenever sin is present in the life of a child of God, what then follows a lot of times is discouragement. And once that discouragement sets in, it can embed itself in a believer sometimes so thick that it takes years and years to get over. Have you done things you regret? Of course you have. I have. There's small things that you regret that only hurt for a short time, but there's some of us who have regrets that can last an entire lifetime. And that's where the power in the blood comes in to cleanse us of that. So while we're cleansed in the power of the blood, what do we do with those mistakes and those failures we've made? Because if you think about it, there's a strong voice inside of us that says that our mistakes define us and that we're permanently branded as failures. And so if you're struggling with freeing yourself from failures, then it's incredibly important to know exactly what God thinks about them. Because in Christ, not only can we find forgiveness and freedom in Him, and that God... but God can actually use our failures for our good and for the good of others. Amen. Let's read our passage this morning in Jeremiah 33 to find out what God says to us about being restored from the captivity of our mistakes. Jeremiah 33, beginning with verse 1, says, then the Lord, word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was still confined in the court of the guard, saying, thus says the Lord who made the earth and the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord in His name. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are broken down to make a defense against the siege mounds against the sword. While they were coming to fight with the Chaldeans and to fill them with the corpse of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my wrath and in my hidden my face from this city because of all their wickedness, behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them in an abundance of peace and truth, and I will restore the fortunes of Judah and the fortunes of Israel, and I will rebuild them as they were at first, and I will cleanse them from all of their iniquity which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all of their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory before all of the nations of the earth, which shall bear and hear of all the good that I do to them, and they shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace that I make for it. Thus says the Lord, yet again, there shall be a herd in this place, of which you shall say, it is a waste, without man and without beast. That is, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, without beast. The voice of joy, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And of those who bring a thank offering to the house of the Lord, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were at first, says the Lord. God is a God of restoration. And then over in Luke chapter 4, one verse out of that, which is basically Christ's mission here on earth. In verse 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release of the captives, and the recovery of the sight of the blind, and to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Amen. You know, I grew up watching those old TV sitcoms. Maybe you remember them. Some of them you can see on TV still to this day. I always loved them, especially the Andy Griffith Show. Loved that show. I loved Bonanza, and I loved some of those other sitcoms they had, such as Leave It to Beaver and Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island and all those. And what's interesting is many of those TV shows, when you grow up watching them as a child, can help shape your morals that you have in your life. Because you're able to, as a child, see the situation happen on TV, and it shows you the situation being acted out right in the television you're watching. And so you're able to see the beginning of the situation and the effect it had on that situation, where someone either failed or they made mistakes, but also how they got resolved. As a matter of fact, Ward Cleaver, in Leave It to Beaver, his son the Beaver, he was talking to his son, and he says, Ward Cleaver is quoted as saying, when you make a mistake, admit it, because if you don't, it'll only make matters worse. Now here's a Captain Obvious statement here. You and I are going to make mistakes in our life. On this planet, whether they're intentional or whether they're accidental, we just are. But I believe that a price for a full life is mistakes. Mistakes are the price for a full life that you have to pay if you learn from them, if you can learn from your mistakes. And I'd like to talk to you today about restoration. And I also believe that the enemy wants to mock you and I and try to cripple you and I by the mistakes that we have made. But on the other hand, heaven wants to make you and transform you by your mistakes that you've made. Failure shouldn't become a prison house to you. It shouldn't keep you locked up and confined where you're held hostage and all the rest of your life just simply by the mistakes you've made. That's not God's will. That's not God's voice either when you hear those things in your life. And it's certainly not God's plan for your life. And I'm not naive, because I've seen the enemy try to take our family out. I've seen the enemy try to take other families out and other people out by failure or a mistake or a bad choice. But my message for you today is that our mistakes are not final. There's restoration, and that we can be restored. Matter of fact, Micah in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 7, verse 8 reminds us, "Do not rejoice over me, mine enemy. Though I have fallen, I will stand up. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." And you might have made a mistake, but you're not one. You might have made a failure or failed in your life, but you're not a failure. You might be down, but down is not your destiny. Because there's a resurrection coming to your dream that's within you, to your life, to your purpose, to your call that God has upon your life. And when we look back over the past year, I'm sure that there have been some things that have happened to you and I, things that we would like a do-over again, where we'd like to go back and erase it. Maybe you messed up, or maybe you did something, or maybe you had to have something so bad and you had to have it, or perhaps you had to say that thing to that someone and it changed everything. You might have fallen, but you haven't failed. And you might have made a mistake, but you're not a mistake. And God will never define you by your worst mistake that you've ever made in your life, because you're not a mistake. Critics will. Oh, yeah. The critics will. The attackers will. Haters will. The people will. But God will never define you by your worst mistake, because Jesus paid it all. He paid that price. It was done once and for all, and we come to Jesus for cleansing by His blood. And that's the point I was trying to get across to you last week, by the power in the blood, because there is power in the blood. And I love the story about Simon Peter and the fact that God loved him even after he messed up. And that's why when the angel appeared at the tomb, the angel said that Jesus wants me to specifically inform one of the disciples by name. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, the angel says to Mary Magdalene and to Mary, the mother of Jesus, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." He's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. But the same guy who denied Christ, the same guy who lied, the same guy who cut someone's ear off, who became a violent guy, the same guy who failed, and he failed miserably, the angel said, "Go tell his disciples, and you tell Peter." Named him specifically. Because Jesus still believes in his good disciples. But he also believes, you see, in his fallen disciples as well. And I'm here this morning to let you know that if you've messed up, to where the enemy has told you, or even perhaps maybe convinced you, that your purpose is over, that your dream has been shredded, then you don't have any hope, you don't have any future. But God's word for you today is that's not true. And that there is restoration available to you today, and God still has His hand upon your life. Amen? Isn't it amazing that it was Simon Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost and led 3,000 people to Christ? The guy that had failed Christ miserably. He didn't choose any of the other 11 disciples, or I guess 10, I guess, after you want to count Judas being gone. But he chose the one who messed up. And then there's this guy in Acts chapter 20 named Eutychus. And while Paul was preaching, he was way up on the third story balcony. And he was sitting in the window. Actually, he was straddling the window. In other words, he had 1 foot inside the church and 1 foot outside the church. And he ended up falling asleep, and he fell out of the church. Matter of fact, he fell 3 stories down. But I love the story about Paul, where the Bible said that Paul said that he left the church service after that happened, where he was preaching at, and he ran down to the man named Eutychus. And by the way, do you know why they call him Eutychus? Because Eutychus too, if you fell three stories down from a window. Ah, well, you know, I digress. Anyway, but he fell all the way down, and they were already going out there to try to scrape him up and throw him away because he's worthless. Serves him right. He shouldn't have been half in and half out. Let's just mark him off because he knows better. He got what was coming to him. But listen, you might have got what's coming to you that you deserve, but you don't have to keep what you've got for the rest of your life. Because you and I have a God that says, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen? And the Bible said that Paul fell on him. And a guy who was in church, and he fell out of church. But Paul ran to meet him. And as Paul fell on him, he said to these words, "There's still life in this man." And the message this morning is that maybe some have messed up and some have fallen, but there's still life in you. There's still life in your dream. There's still life in your purpose. And there's still life in what God has called you to do. His name was Steve Wynn. He was a billionaire. He still is, I guess, according to Forbes magazine. He lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he's made billions and billions of dollars from the casinos that he's built and he owns, hotels that he's made. But he's most famous as being a builder. And I want to tell you something that happened to him, and I think it can kind of speak to our lives this morning. But Steve Wynn, he was a lover of art. And back in 2001, he bought a painting for over $50 million. That's a good chunk of change. And the painting is called La Rive, which in French means the dream. And the painting cost him $50 million because it was painted in 1932 by an artist named Pablo Picasso. And he paid $50 million for that painting. Not just because he's an art collector, but he really loved that particular painting because it was called The Dream. And it meant something especially to him. Because he always had said that whenever I started out, I had nothing but a dream to build on. And it just had something to do with my life. And he always wanted to have that painting, and he finally caught it, but it cost him $50 million. And he held on to that painting for about 5 years. And he would display it in the lobbies that he owned of the hotels, of the most expensive hotels in Las Vegas. And the customers or the people that were going there to gamble, or the people that were going there to see shows perhaps, or maybe just traveling through and staying at his hotels, they would get to see the dream in person without having to go to a special art gallery or art museum by Pablo Picasso. But something happened. Just 5 years later, even though Steve Wynn loved that painting and he loved the dream, he had a chance to get two other paintings that he really wanted. And he always wanted to own them. And so a man from New York City, he was an investment banker named Steve Cohen. Mr. Cohen called Mr. Wynn up and he said that he would like to own the dream painting. And so they began negotiating on a price. And the negotiation between Steve Wynn and Mr. Cohen, they ended up settling on a price of $139 million. So 5 years later, Steve Wynn made an $89 million profit from this painting by Pablo Picasso. And because Steve Wynn was so emotionally attached to this painting, The Dream, that he decided to celebrate it leaving his area in Las Vegas. He wanted to throw a big party, and so he invited the wealthy, the movie stars, rock stars, notable people, flew them in from all over around the world because he wanted to throw a big party, and he wanted some of the most famous people in the world at this party. And this is all a fact. You can check it out. And they all came, and everybody's having a big time, and it's just a big party, and Steve Wynn is standing before his party attendees at the party, and he does something very regretful, a mistake that would cost him. Because he's out there with all of these important people. He has his dream painting setting up on an easel beside him. Steve Wynn has an eye disease, and it damages your peripheral vision called retinitis pigmentosa, or something like that. Laren or Chelsea, somebody's worked in the vision place, can tell you more about that. But it causes problems seeing things. And so he can't really measure distance that well. And that night, to be able to celebrate his dream, he had the painting on an easel behind him, and he got really into talking about how much he loved the dream and about what it meant to him. And he moves his arms around a lot when he talks. And as he was telling about some of the most famous and wealthy people in the world were before him, and at that moment he accidentally lost his balance and he tried to catch himself. And as he did, his elbow went backward, and right through the canvas it went. His elbow made a hole the size of a silver dollar, right through this $139 million painting. You and I can't comprehend that much money. And so the dream was torn, and the dream was ripped, and the dream was destroyed. People standing there couldn't believe their eyes. And of course, Steve Wynn, he said an expletive. But then he also said, look what I've done. He said, I am certainly glad this happened to me instead of someone else. And so afterwards, he got on the phone and called Mr. Cohen up in New York City, and he said, look, I'm sorry, he said, but the dream has been destroyed. I had an accident, and I couldn't help it. I don't know how I could have done it. I don't know how I fell. I don't understand. I couldn't catch myself, but I just messed up, and I messed up the dream as I was falling backwards. And he said to that New York investor, he said, but don't worry. He said, I want to buy it back from you. And, you know, he said, you just can't take this painting once it's damaged and put it back in the closet somewhere and hope it gains value again someday. But he said, I want that painting in my hands because I'm not just an art collector. I'm an art lover, and I must have that painting. Even if I stand to lose $89 million, if you'll just let me take that painting back, I'll be happy. True story. So the New York investor, Mr. Cohen, said, you know, you're crazy, but I'll sell back that torn painting to you, but you've just lost millions and millions of dollars doing that. So what happened is he got the painting back, and Steve Wynn, because of his love for that painting, he began to search all over the world for what's called an art surgeon or an art restorer. And when he found one, he found a man in Europe, and of course he flew him over to the United States. And this art surgeon began to look at that damaged painting, the dream that had been destroyed. And this was his final analysis. He says, I can fix it. As a matter of fact, he said, when I get through with this painting from the front, nobody's ever going to be able to tell that it was ever damaged before. Because I can look at this painting and I can see how I can repair it, and it's going to take some time. I mean, it's going to take at least a year to fix this thing. But it's not going to be instant, and it's not going to be quick. By the way, if you notice, the word restoration has the word not only restore in it, but it has the word rest in it as well. Because if God's going to do something in your life that He needs to fix, and if your dream has been torn to pieces, you're going to have to give God a little time to make it right. And we need to have patience while God is restoring us in our lives. Little by little, He begins to put the pieces back together. And you and I may not be all that we want to be yet, but you just wait. And just like Psalms 27:14 reminds us to do, is to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. And when we are able to put our hands in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, covered with blood, don't just put it in anybody's hands, but place the broken and torn dream in the hands of Jesus, and that's true restoration. And so the art surgeon, He looked at the painting and he says, now from the front, it's going to look remarkable. And sure enough, 1 year later, he brought it back, brought the painting back, and even the greatest inspectors in the world came to look at that painting, and they looked and looked at it. And after it, they just said, you know, this dream, it's been restored. They all agreed that this thing's perfect. I can't even tell. So when you looked in the painting, everybody saw out front that it didn't look like it had been through what it had been through. But he did tell Steve Wynn this. He says, however, if you turn that painting around, it's going to be ugly. It looks ugly. Because people who know the real story of this painting and the repair work that it had in it and the restoration, that people will not be able to tell from the front side that it's been damaged. But people who know the real story can see behind and see that it has been restored from the inside. From the inside out, it has been restored. And the same thing's true with our lives. When God gets through with you and me, we're not going to look like what we've been through. You're not going to look like a failure. You're not going to look like you've made a mistake. You're not going to look like you made a bad choice. Because there's a lot of good people who are in ministry today. A lot of good believers who are serving in their churches today, serving Christ, serving in His kingdom, teaching the Word to other people, serving to other people of the kingdom of God, or serving to others in this world that need to see Christ's love and to show His love to them, who don't look like what they've been through because they've been restored. And they've been restored by the power of the blood from the inside out. And that's why from the front we show the picture of Christ, but on the inside we know the real story. Out of those mistakes come ministry. Out of that pain comes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And out of those ashes come real beauty in your life from what God can do. Don't say that you want God to use you if you're not willing to go through the restoration. You want to see the scars on Jesus' body of what He went through in order for you and I to become beautiful again. What Jesus paid and what He went through, and He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities. And all of these, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed, according to Isaiah 53:5. And you are whole and you are restored, and God's saying that He still has plans for your life and mine. I mean, anybody can praise Him when we're on top of everything. Anybody can praise Him when everything's going just perfect. But when you learn to praise Him, when your life has a hole punched right through it, just like the dream had, and just as Psalms chapter 30 verse 11 promises us, He'll turn our weeping into dancing. And when we learn to praise God in our pain, here's the rest of the story about the dream. And you can verify this if you need to. But the same guy in New York City, Mr. Cohen, he called Steve Wynn back a year later. And he said, I've seen the restored painting. And I've heard how flawless it is and how much work went into restoring that painting. And he says, I want that painting. He said, I told you before I'd take $139 million for that painting originally. But that was before it was torn. But now that it's been restored, I'm willing to pay you $155 million. And so the painting's worth more after it had been through the tearing, after it had been through the distress that it had been through, and after it had been through the mistakes that was made to it, and after the dream had been torn. If you can only get back up, Jesus will restore you. And you'll only increase, not decrease, in value. Let me close with this final verse in Proverbs 24:16. It says, a righteous man or a righteous woman, and here's the way of righteousness. It says, a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Righteousness isn't determined by how many times that you fall. But instead, righteousness is determined after you've had the failure, do you get back up? And do you turn it into praise? Because if you will, He'll restore you. And out of your ashes will come beauty again. Amen? God can make you beautiful. It's all through restoration. And yes, your inside may be ugly, but God's going to do a miracle in you. And He can. Father, we love You and we praise Your name. And we thank You for restoring us this morning. And Father, if there's one here today that has been just overwhelmed by the enemy, saying that they're a mistake, that they're just not going to recover from it, let them come to You. Let them come under the blood. And let them be restored. It's going to take some time. It may not be instant. But You are a God of restoration. And allows us to shout under You. To shout loud unto You. And to be victorious in You. And if there's one here today that needs encouragement, there's one here today that needs prayer, that needs anointing, that needs just some validation from their church family and how to help and be restored, Father, let this day be that day, to not put it off any longer. And so that they can discover that they can be able to shout unto the Lord with victory, and to shout unto the Lord with a loud voice, and not be inhibited by those evil things that want to keep plaguing their minds and pushing them down, that they once again would be able to lift their arms and turn their weeping into dancing, and their joy would be fulfilled through You, our Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen. Please stand with us this morning as we end with song. This week, you need to shout unto Him with a voice of praise. You need to tell the enemy that you have been bought back. You have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And you're worth more now than you've ever been. And so when the enemy comes across to you, he has been defeated. And he's going to do everything he can to try to make you think that you're defeated as well. But you have been bought with the blood of Christ. And you are worth more. And let your dreams rise. And let your purpose rise. And let your calling rise within you this morning. God be with you, prayer, faith. Have a wonderful week. And in His name we pray. Amen.